realize that there is a great need in this election, and I think they're realizing that there is a lot at stake for this election.
Rowland County Clerk Kim Davis says apathy does not seem to be a problem in next month's presidential election. Tomorrow is the voter registration deadline in Kentucky.
Senator Mitch McConnell says don't ask him about the presidential election. McConnell says he's just not going to talk about it.
Retired teachers in Kentucky could see a big increase in their Medicare premiums next year.
In sports, the defending NFC champion Carolina Panthers host Tampa Bay in Monday Night Football.
But Luke has the stocks.
It's going to be partly cloudy this evening with lows in the mid-40s. The complete forecast after this news.
Rowland County voters are interested and engaged in next month's presidential election. That's according to Clerk Kim Davis, who is expecting more people to cast ballots in November than they did in 2012. She says Rowland Countyans seem eager to participate in the selection of the next president and the other offices on the ballot, too.
For a long time here in the state of Kentucky and all over the U.S., you know, we fought voter apathy. People, you know, just did not care, just didn't want to go vote and didn't think that their vote mattered. And so I think it's really good to see the influx of, whether it's Democrat or Republican or nonpartisan, I think it's wonderful to see the influx of the voter registration and the interest in it.
Davis says more voters appear to be changing their registrations from one party to another or registering as an independent than she recalls from previous elections. Tomorrow is the deadline to register to vote in Kentucky.
Kentucky Congressman Andy Barr says he will not return a $10,000 campaign contribution from Wells Fargo, even though the banking giant has admitted to opening thousands of accounts for customers which they did not authorize. The Lexington Republican discussed the issue Sunday on KET's One to One with Bill Goodman. Barr's Democratic opponent in next month's election has called on the incumbent to give back the money. However, Barr says the acceptance of financial donations from a company doesn't mean that he lacks independence.
I'm not going to respond to campaign stunts. What I am going to do is I'm going to let my actions speak for myself. And I've demonstrated independence and a willingness not only to hold regulators accountable, but to hold Wall Street accountable.
As soon as he learned about the alleged fraud by Wells Fargo, Barr says he called on the chairman of the House Financial Services Committee to hold hearings about it. The congressman is a member of that panel.
As a growing number of Republican leaders give up on the party's presidential nominee, U.S. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is taking a different tack. He's ignoring Donald Trump. During a Q&A with local business leaders in Kentucky today, McConnell told the audience not to ask him about the presidential race. He said anyone who came to hear his thoughts about the presidential contest might as well go ahead and leave. While McConnell is not on the ballot in November, he is working to preserve the Republican majority in the U.S. Senate. Some incumbent Republican senators, including Ohio's Rob Portman, have pulled their support for Trump after a video surfaced of him making abusive comments about women. In a news release last week, McConnell called Trump's comments unacceptable.
Several influenza cases have been reported throughout the Commonwealth. The director of the Gateway District Health Department, Bobby Ratliff, says that now is the time to get vaccinated, but wants people to understand the flu shot is only 60% effective and does not guarantee you will not contract the virus.
There's a 40% chance you could get the flu regardless, even though you have had the flu shot. The flu vaccine is not a live virus. You may have discomfort after the flu shot due to your body's immune system adjusting to the flu virus.
Ratliff says getting a flu shot is a simple process and adds there's no indication of shortage in vaccine at this time.
Nearly 7,000 retired teachers in Kentucky over the age of 80 will see their Medicare Part B premiums rise by double digits without congressional action. That's according to the director of health care for the Kentucky Teachers Retirement System. Jane Gilbert spoke last week in Washington at a forum sponsored by the National Coalition on Health Care. She says a Medicare trustees report is recommending a hike in Part B premiums of 22%, and that would be on top of a 16% increase last year. Gilbert says there are 46,000 retired teachers in Kentucky, but the oldest among them would be hurt the most.
We have 208 teachers between the ages of 95 and 99. We have 750 retired teachers between the ages of 90 and 94. And we have over 5,800 that are greater than the age of 80 years old. So a 22% increase, a $27 increase to the Medicare Part B premium has a huge impact in terms of my population.
Retired teachers in Kentucky are now paying just over $120 a month in premiums for Medicare Part B.
The city of Pikeville has received preliminary approval for $5 million in grant money to begin a new project on former mine land. The Office of Surface Mining and Reclamation Enforcement gave the preliminary approval on October 7th. If fully approved, Pikeville officials will be using the funds to construct a new 50,000-square-foot spec building as the start of what could become the Marion Branch Industrial Park. Bob Scott is the director of the Department of Abandoned Mine Lands.
At this stage, they're looking at some infrastructure along with building a spec building that would be attractive to potential industry.
No date has been given for the final approval of the grant.
The idling of AK Steel's blast furnace at Ashland has had a devastating ripple effect on the local economy, but State Representative Kevin Sinnett remains optimistic the facility will someday be returned to production. The blast furnace was mothballed in December 2015 because of slumping demand for domestic steel, and more than 600 AK employees were laid off. The Boyd County Democrat says the past year has been difficult because the furloughs have affected more than just the steel workers.
What it's really about is the family that can't survive, the family that can't make the mortgage payment, the bank that doesn't get that mortgage payment, that has to lay off employees because the debts aren't being paid by their customers, the cars that are being foreclosed upon, the money that's being exchanged, even in our restaurants. It just is such a trickle-down effect that it's tremendous.
But Sinnett is quick to add, AK has not dismantled the blast furnace, and the steelmaker has prevailed in several trade cases in which it alleged unfair competition from China and other countries. He also says a few other cases are pending, and AK might well win those too. Sinnett also notes the company's stock has remained stable.
According to Judge Executive Walter Blevins, Rowan County's new detention center will help improve the looks of Moorhead's east side. As Blevins notes, the new $18 million facility is being constructed on a site along U.S. 60, where a dilapidated tobacco warehouse stood for several years.
That old warehouse was something that was not very, very attractive for people to drive through the community, and we think it'll be something positive. We wound up, we paid more for the property, but we're much closer to the courthouse, and it's going to hopefully save us money in the long run as far as for transportation.
Blevins says because of the way the building is being constructed, many people driving past it won't even know that it's a jail. Workers are currently building the foundation for the 300-bed facility. It's expected to be ready for use in early to mid-2018.
A northern Kentucky lawmaker says it's usually a good thing to be ranked in the top five, but not this time. State Representative Dennis Keene is talking about heroin overdose deaths in the Commonwealth. The Democrat says they've been heavily concentrated in urban areas.
Number one is Kenton County. Number two is Fayette County. Number three is Jefferson County. Number four is Boone County. Number five is Campbell County. So this is a real problem, and we're going to have to use all of our resources to help law enforcement and help our people and save our families.
Between 2012 and 2015, Keene says there have been 663 fatalities owing to heroin overdoses just in Kenton, Campbell, and Boone counties.
One of the reasons the heroin scourge has exploded across Kentucky and elsewhere is because it is producing immense profits for dealers. That's according to Nicholasville Police Chief Barry Waldrop. He says those peddling heroin-laced fentanyl are reaping dividends 50 times greater than their investment.
These people don't care about our kids. They don't care about our family. You know, they're going to sell it, and they're going to keep selling it because, you know, I read something the other day that said you could take $10,000 worth of this fentanyl and make $500,000 on the street.
As long as the opportunity exists to get rich quickly, Waldrop says it'll be hard to curb the heroin trade. That's why he argues the penalties for dealers must be tougher.
Two West Virginia pharmacists are set to be tried in federal court later this month after they were accused of being part of an online drug dispensing scheme. The Charleston Gazette-Mail reports that Philip Michael II of Alum Creek and Mark Reinhard of Cross Lanes face charges related to the distribution of drugs to customers without valid prescriptions. A trial is set for October 24th in Louisville. An indictment says from June 2009 through at least April 2012, Michael shipped various prescription drugs to customers of online websites who did not have valid prescriptions. Prosecutors say bank accounts controlled by Michael received about $4 million during that time period.
Kentucky Power is helping with power restoration efforts in the parts of the southeastern United States that were hit hard by Hurricane Matthew. The company on Friday sent 120 workers and contractors to Florida and another 30 to South Carolina. Allison Barker is the spokeswoman for Kentucky Power.
There's a program called Mutual Assistance, and it's where utility companies will assist each other in times of emergency. So in the wintertime, for example, or in the summertime when we have huge storms in our area, we'll get additional crews to come up and help us. So this time around, we get to go help other people.
Kentucky Power provides service to 169,000 customers in 20 counties in the eastern part of the state. Barker isn't sure how long the company's workers will be helping with power restoration efforts in Florida and South Carolina.
The cause of that fire that destroyed a Maysville building just over a week ago is still undetermined. Here is MSPR's Jacob Lindberg.
Kentucky State Police arson investigator Shane Barnes has been looking into the blaze that ruined a vacant Standard Supply storage building on Lexington Street near Wald Park on the evening of October 2nd. According to Barnes, the structure was so badly burned that no clues remain as to how the fire started. He adds his investigation will remain in a holding pattern unless some witnesses to the incident step forward. It took firefighters from the Maysville and Orangeburg fire departments several hours to get the blaze under control. There were no injuries. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
A giant video board and upgraded sound system are in place at Rupp Arena. The Lexington Herald Leader reports Lexington Center CEO and President Bill Owen unveiled the improvements Sunday that coincide with the arena's 40-year anniversary. Other changes to the arena include new lighting and blue paint on ductwork and support towers that were once red. A wireless internet connection will be made available to Rupp Arena visitors next spring. The $15 million in upgrades were financed through the Kentucky League of Cities Bond Development Program.
Director Russ Ward reports that unofficial figures show that enrollment at Maysville Community and Technical College's Rowland campus is up over last year. Ward says there are about 900 to 1,000 students attending classes at the Rowland campus this fall, which is an increase of around 11%. He thinks the improvement can be traced to the fact that people are looking to change or add to their skill sets as the economy evolves.
I think people are looking more at, you know, coming back and retraining and getting that, you know, two-year technical degree. You know, Associate of Applied Science is becoming a kind of a standard bearer within the two-year degrees. And I think that more people are seeing opportunities to, you know, have to develop a good education and get a quality job and, you know, and contribute to their communities.
Ward says, while it's great that there are more students at MCTC Rowland this fall, the facility can only house 350 of them, meaning that it's badly overcrowded right now. The school opens its new 90,000-square-foot campus center at the MMRC Industrial Park in 2018.
The Allstate Foundation is using a nationwide fundraiser for victims of domestic violence to provide assistance to 15 domestic violence shelters across Kentucky. The State Coalition Against Domestic Violence is participating in the Purple Purse Challenge. It hopes to raise $15,000 for its shelters that will service survivors of abuse. Experts say nearly all victims of physical abuse also suffer financial abuse. Lakeisha Torian of Hopkinsville is one of those victims. She says the assistance she gets from the KCADV is vital to her. She uses it to pay her car insurance.
If I didn't have it, it's possibly you can get your car taken away or getting pulled over and getting a $1,500 fine and stuff like that. So they help me in that way to keep my car, and they help me to be able to come to school.
Donations to the Purple Purse Challenge can be made online at kcadv.org. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Tonight's going to be partly cloudy with lows in the mid-40s. Tuesday, mostly sunny with highs in the mid-70s. Tuesday night will be mostly clear, lows in the upper 40s. Wednesday will be sunny, highs in the upper 70s. Thursday, mostly cloudy with highs in the upper 60s. And Friday, mostly sunny with a 20% chance of showers and highs in the upper 60s. Temperatures for the surrounding area. Ashland is sitting at 69 degrees. It's 68 degrees in Flemingsburg, 68 degrees in Inez as well, 70 degrees in Lexington. It's currently 71 in Winchester, and it is currently 69 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:46, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It's good to have you along on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, one of the largest domestic violence shelters in the state will be holding its annual candlelight vigil next month. MSPR's Samantha Morrill has details.
Safe Harbor serves victims of domestic violence in Boyd, Greenup, Carter, Elliott, and Lawrence counties, and next month they will hold their 25th annual candlelight vigil. Safe Harbor spokeswoman Jennifer Allen says shelters all over the state hold the vigil to honor victims of domestic violence.
It honors the memory of all the people who have perished in the past year as a direct result of domestic violence. This year, there are 32 victims who will be remembered. During the program, we light a candle and read the names of the past year's victims.
Allen adds that the event serves as a reminder and a calling.
This has several goals, and one is to remember that domestic violence claims many people every year, not just in Kentucky, but across the country, and to enhance the awareness that we all could be part of the solution in creating abuse-free families.
While the vigil is a somber occasion, there will be some celebration. As Allen tells us, honors and awards will be presented as part of the event.
We will be honoring several people who have been instrumental in their volunteer spirit with Safe Harbor, Sister Sally Neal and Sister Marisha Smith, founders of Sarah's Place in Sandy Hook, and they are retiring, and their mother house has called them home to Maryland. We're going to honor them because they have been tireless in their help for Safe Harbor through the decades.
Both of the sisters will be presented with Cornerstone Awards in recognition of their hard work. The vigil will be held November 3rd at 5 p.m. in the cafeteria of the Harbor Hill facility. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Samantha Morrill.
4:49, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio, all things considered. At 5 o'clock, and Sean has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main, next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Morehead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday, catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
Monday night match up. Good afternoon. This is MSPR's Sports Report. I'm Sean Delaney. 2-1-3 NFL teams meet at 8:30 in Monday Night Football. Here's Kenzie Thompson.
In Game 1, the Washington Redskins host Pittsburgh. The Steelers won't have running back Le'Veon Bell, who's on a 3-game suspension. Wide receiver Martavis Bryant is out on a 1-year suspension. The game's most interesting matchup might be new Redskins cornerback Josh Norman against Steelers All-Pro wideout Antonio Brown. Late tonight, the Los Angeles Rams renew their West Coast rivalry with San Francisco. 49ers QB Blaine Gabbert will match wits with the Rams' defensive front seven, which many rank among the best in the NFL. Reporting for MSPR Sports, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
Unhappy with yesterday's 28-14 loss in Dallas, head coach Marvin Lewis says his Cincinnati Bengals need to pull things together quickly. The Cowboys built a 28-0 lead in sending the Bengals to 2-3 after their 28-14 road loss. According to Lewis, his team was completely outplayed.
Our execution on offense, I thought, did a good job, but then we would just stall the drive out on the third down. So we got the ball about midfield and stalled them out. Defensively, we gave up some plays where they got 7, 8, 13 yards, you know, crossing routes, some things like that that hurt us today. And then on third downs in the first half, we didn't do very good. They converted the three or four they had, and that was, you know, and they kept the drives alive, and we had opportunities.
Andy Dalton led a second-half comeback try for the Bengals by connecting with Brandon LaFell on a pair of touchdown passes, but it was too little too late. Cincinnati visits Tom Brady and New England next Sunday. It's back to work for the Morehead State football team as Coach Rob Tenier and his staff work to get the 2-4 Eagles back on track. They fell to 2-4 overall and 1-2 in the PFL this past Saturday after being routed by Dayton 51-27. Tenier was particularly upset that the MSU defense gave up 419 yards to the Flyers.
We missed way too many tackles. I felt like our second-level players, we were standing and waiting a little too much on open field tackles, and we can't do that. That's advantage to the offensive team, so we'll go back and work on some of those things.
MSU will now get ready for next Saturday's homecoming game against Marist. The Kentucky football team finds itself back at the 500 mark. The Wildcats improved their record to 3-3 after holding off Vanderbilt 20-13 Saturday at Commonwealth Stadium. It took a late 4th-and-1 conversion, a field goal by Austin McGinnis, and a game-ending defensive stop at their own 8-yard line for UK coach Mark Stoops' guys to hang on to the victory.
Very, very proud of our team. We overcame a lot of adversity and that's what you have to do. You have to dig down and make plays and win sometimes. And I don't really care how it looks. I mean, certainly I want to get a lot of things cleaned up, but I really am proud.
After taking next week off, the Cats are back at Commonwealth Stadium on October 22nd to entertain Mississippi State. Switching over now to the Major League postseason, Josh Tomlin takes the mound today for Cleveland as the Indians attempt to close out the Red Sox in their American League Division Series at 6 this evening. The Indians won the first two games at home before the game being played today was rained out on Sunday. The fourth game, if needed, will be Tuesday afternoon in Boston. If the Indians win, they'll face the Toronto Blue Jays in the ALCS. Toronto entered the championship series after completing a 3-game sweep of the Houston Astros last night. The Chicago Cubs are one game away from a sweep of the San Francisco Giants, but they'll have to get through ace Madison Bumgarner first. This certainly would not be Bumgarner's first postseason rodeo. He has pitched 23 scoreless innings in the last three win-or-go-home situations, including a 3-0 shutout of the Mets in the National League wildcard game. Game time is 9 o'clock in San Francisco's AT&T Park. And currently, the Washington Nationals are in Los Angeles trying to break a 1-1 tied series with the Dodgers in the National League Division Series as we speak. At last check, the Dodgers are up 1-0 following a double from Corey Seager in the first. Gio Gonzalez is pitching for the Nats. Kenta Maeda is towing the rubber for the Dodgers. The game is currently in the bottom of the second inning. Preseason practices for the Morehead State women's basketball team continue at Johnson Arena. Bolstered by what he believes is a strong recruiting class, Coach Greg Todd expects the Eagles to improve on last year's 10-20 record.
Every team definitely has high goals and high expectations, and you hope the team will continue to develop. And with a little bit of luck, with some health and improvement, I think it's a team that can definitely make some noise as we continue through the journey.
The MSU women will face Transylvania in a November 3rd exhibition at Johnson Arena. They open the season 8 days later by hosting Georgia State. And finally, this afternoon, the 61st District Girls Soccer Tournament begins tonight in Owingsville. Rowland County faces Menifee County at 6 in the opener. Coach Alan Evans says his 10-6-1 Lady Vikings are ready to start postseason play.
We feel good going into a district. We got the number one seed, and so it's very important to get that, and we'll face Menifee again, and then the winner of Bath and Fleming. And so we got to get the championship of the district. That gives us a good draw for region.
This evening's second game pits Bath County against Fleming County. The championship game is set for Thursday. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Sean Delaney.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle Soccer has a home match on Thursday with Jacksonville State at 7 p.m., and Eagle Football will host Marist on Saturday at 1 p.m. Tickets and information available from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
This is Shanna Kelly from Hilliard Lyons with your daily market report and news. The Dow Jones closed at 18,329.4, up 88.55. The S&P closed at 2,163.66, up 9.92. The NASDAQ closed at 5,328.67, up 36.26. Stocks of local interest include Ashland, closed at 116.37, down 90 cents. CSX closed at 30.83, down 22 cents. Marathon closed at 42.47, up 70 cents. AT&T closed at 39.01, up 14 cents. AK Steel closed at 4.86, up 18 cents. U.S. stocks rose in subdued trading on Monday as oil prices surged to a one-year high, lifting shares of energy companies. Oil prices rose 2% after Russia said it was ready to join OPEC in curbing crude output, and Algeria's oil minister said he expected similar commitments from other non-OPEC producers. 10 of the 11 major S&P 500 indexes were higher, led by a 1.69% rise in the energy sector. Exxon and Chevron were among the top influences on the S&P and the Dow. The dollar firmed across the board as it continued to benefit from expectations the Federal Reserve would likely raise interest rates in December. Traders expect a 70.2% chance that the Fed will hike at a December 13-14 policymakers meeting, up from 66% early Friday, according to CME Group's FedWatch tool. Investors are looking to Wednesday's release of minutes of the latest Federal Reserve Open Market Committee meeting to see how close the U.S. Central Bank was to hiking rates last month. U.S. futures also gained, touching four-month highs, up 3.9% at $51.35 a barrel. The U.S. bond market was closed for the Columbus Day holiday. This is Shanna Kelly with Hilliard Lyons, filling in for Bud Luke with your daily market report.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Folk Art Center, presenting The Devil Made Us Do It, depictions of Satan in Kentucky folk art. On display through December 3rd, the exhibition examines how the character of the devil has been portrayed by generations of self-taught artists from Kentucky. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Kentucky Folk Arts Center is a cultural, educational, and economic development service of Morehead State University.
Taking a look at your weather forecast, tonight it's going to be partly cloudy, lows in the mid-40s. Tuesday, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-70s. Tuesday night, mostly clear, with lows in the upper 40s. Wednesday will be sunny, with highs in the upper 70s. Thursday, mostly cloudy, highs in the upper 60s. And Friday will be mostly sunny, with a 20% chance of showers and highs in the upper 60s. Temperatures, it's going to be 69 degrees in Ashland, 68 in Flemingsburg and Inez, 70 degrees in Lexington, 71 in Winchester, and it is currently 69 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
And that will bring the curtain down on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Baraz, Ellen Barnett, Samantha Morrill, Courtney Howell, Sean Delaney, Jacob Lindberg, Xavier Atkins, Kenzie Thompson, Kyle Blankenbuehler, and Victoria Agee. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ashley Chapman and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.
Did anybody see that debate last night? Well, you never saw anything like that before.
Both candidates are campaigning in the Great Lakes region after